great song. It's unique with the Christmas songs. You usually only get to sing them once a year. There's so many good ones, you don't want to, you got to get them all in, and then you, so if you love it, you got to wait till next year to hear it again. Open, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, and we are looking at verses 6 through 10. We began looking last week, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, and today we're going to focus in on verse number 10. Two-part sermon here that I've titled His Workmanship. We're saved by grace through faith, not of our works, but we are His workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So let's read together. Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 9, or 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and this time together with the church in your word. We ask for your blessing upon it. May the church be edified. May you be glorified. May those who are unsaved be drawn to faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I consider these the golden standard verses of our faith. They teach us that we are saved by grace through faith, not our works. And then in addition to that, we are God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ unto good works. Last time in verses 6 through 9, we looked at what God has done for us. Today in verse number 10, I want us to consider what God is doing in us and then what God is going to do or is doing now through us as He's working in us. Verse number 9 made it clear that we are not saved by works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul makes that extremely clear to us. We are saved, but it's not of our own doing. It's not of our own earning. If you sit here this morning, a born-again believer, a child of God, it's because of what God has done for you, and bless His holy name because of it. Can you imagine if we had to save ourselves? If we had to do something to get ourselves saved, we would all be doing it differently. We'd all be arguing about who's doing it right. We would all be failing miserably. I know I would. Can you imagine if you could lose your salvation? I like what John MacArthur said. If you could lose your salvation, you would lose your salvation. So thank God that through His Holy Spirit, He has sealed us forever. So we're very thankful for that. But though it is not by works that we are saved, works do have a special place in the life of the believer. Good works do not produce our salvation. Only Jesus' righteous work on the cross could produce salvation. Through Jesus' good works, many good works are then produced in us. So there's a balance. Sinclair Ferguson says there's a beautiful spiritual balance here. Faith is a gift, yet we exercise it. I like what Martin Luther says here, because Martin Luther was famous for heralding the point that we are justified by faith alone, not works. But he says there, it is not against works that we contend, but against trust in works. So I'm going to speak to you this morning about your good works. You are God's workmanship, but we are not trusting in those works for our eternal fate. We're not trusting in those works for our relationship with a holy God, but we have faith that does work. We are His workmanship. He says in verse number 10 that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The Greek word from which we derive workmanship here is pouima. It's P-O-I-E-M-A, and it means anything brought into existence or compiled by someone. The product, what is made. It is to say here, we are what God has made in Christ Jesus. This word is the root from which we derive the English word for poem. So as we're thinking of workmanship here, we can think of poetry as a literary workmanship. Anybody in here a poet? Anybody in here ever wrote a poem? Zach, you write Presley poems?
I have
a poem. You want to recite it for us? I can't remember. Okay. I wrote one time. It went like this. Roses are red, violets are blue. Most poems rhyme, but this one don't. That was mine. It didn't give me any points at Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll have to get yours next time. But poetry. Amen. That's great. Fantastic. You trained him right, Lynn. But this is so poetry. Zach, that was his literary workmanship. We're God's spiritual workmanship. You didn't just write that poem and it was done and you said, all right, I'm going to put it over here on the shelf somewhere and I'm never going to use it. No, you complete the literary work and then you go and use it. You tell a poem like that to the one you love the most, to the prettiest girl in the whole wide world, to the one you want to spend your life with. You say such things to them and you don't just say it the one time, you over and over and over again. So it goes with God's working in us. When a literary work is completed, it has just begun. So it is with our conversion. Your conversion is not the end. Your conversion, the day you were saved, this is the beginning as far as God's concerned. We are now part of His new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. This is what Paul is saying here. We are His workmanship. God continues to work in us to make us what He wants us to be. His purpose is to make us more like Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is what he is saying here in verse 10. We are His workmanship. God, who foreknew us, predestinated us to be made like Christ. And that's what He's doing in us right now. We're God's product. We're the result of what He is making. How does God work in us? He works in us through His Holy Spirit. When Christ finished His work of redemption on earth, He returned to heaven. There He carries on His unfinished work of perfecting His church. You can read on over here in the book of Ephesians. It talks about the work of the church, perfecting the church, edifying the church, working in the church. In fact, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read just a little something to you here. Ephesians chapter 4, we begin in verse number 7. That just should be a couple pages. Paul continues by saying, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we are being grown up into Him in all things. He is, in a sense, parenting us, rearing us, conforming us into what He would want us to be, because we're part of the body. And every part of the body has a purpose. It has a work. It has a part for it to do. And when all of the body is working together, it edifies itself in love, Paul says here. So God works in us through the Holy Spirit. There in heaven, there in eternity, Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God is doing the work now of perfecting the church. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect and every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If we took volunteers here this morning and said, how many of you are already perfect? Nobody. Nobody. None of you guys are the perfect specimen of a man. I went to the doctor and he said, you're in perfect health. I said, great, doc, thanks. I went home and told my wife, I said, you're married to a perfect man. She said, I need to talk to your doctor. No, but Christ is making us perfect. He is perfecting us. If we don't see that as the end result, then what are we earning? What are we working toward? What are we trying to achieve here in this life? He has earned perfect righteousness, and he has put it on our account. And as if he were a great sculptor, he's chipping away everything that doesn't belong and making us into exactly what he would have us to be. Christ is equipping us to be God's workmanship here on earth. He is perfecting the church, and he does this through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit here and now. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God, what you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Wiersbe says, as we read God's Word, understand it, meditate on it, and feed on it, the Word goes to work in our lives to cleanse us and nourish us. The Holy Spirit's working in you right now, and he uses the Word. He also uses prayer. Look in chapter 3 here at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a blessing to think that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. But have you ever stopped as you read that verse and wonder, well, how can he do that? Well, he tells us how. According to the power that worketh in us. What is the power that works in us when we pray? It is the Holy Spirit. God uses the Holy Spirit in us through the Word to perfect us. The Holy Spirit in us through prayer to perfect us. Our prayers would just be vain, repetition. Were they not through an indwelled being of the Holy Spirit of God? God also uses suffering to perfect us, to make us his workmanship. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 12, 13, and 14. Listen to this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now that's not always my reaction when a fiery trial comes into my life, when sufferings come into my life. I am not typically happy and I don't typically rejoice. When I go to work in the morning and the tire is flat, I don't say, well, praise the Lord. I say, oh, the devil's on me today. He's going to keep me from getting to work on time. Well, who are we giving glory to in our living? Who are we trusting in for what may happen in that day? Now, whatever comes into your life, and I use the silly illustration of a flat tire, certainly suffering for the Lord will be much more than that. But we're instructed in the Word to rejoice. Why? Because as we suffer, God's Spirit ministers to us. Suffering pushes us into the Word. Suffering pushes us into prayer. Suffering pushes us to long to be edified through fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. God uses suffering through His Holy Spirit's indwelling to perfect us. The Word, prayer, suffering. So your conversion, your salvation experience, this is not the end. It isn't the only important experience for you spiritually. Can you imagine a young couple? they go to be married, and the wedding's over, and the new husband says to his new bride, "Well, that was fun. I'll see you tomorrow." Is this what they're going to do? Tom, you and Mary about to renew your vows. How many years y'all been married? 50 years. Mary, if he had done that, would it have been 50 years? No. Mary would say, "What do you mean, see you tomorrow?" But this is what we do to God at times. We come to church, we sing our songs and say our prayers and read our scriptures and hear the sermon. And then we say to God and we say to our faith, "Well, I'll see you next week unless I need you during this week, and then I'll call on you." What a silly thing it would be for a new bride or a new groom to say, "Well, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you next week, or maybe we'll get together in a year and celebrate what we did here today." We think that's goofy, but for whatever reason, we don't think of it that way in our relationship with God. Paul is teaching us here that your salvation experience, though key and essential, is not the end. You've been saved by grace through faith. That was not of yourselves. It's God's gift. It's not of works. But then remember that we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So your conversion, that being saved by grace through faith, this is just the beginning. And there's a lot left to do after that point. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Mary and Martha were upset with Jesus. In fact, what did they tell Jesus when he got there? They said, "You're late." Can you imagine them, how they must have felt after the fact? "Oh, I can't believe I told him he was too late. He's God. He's Emmanuel." But they said, "Jesus, you're too late. He's already stinking. He's already decaying. He's already dead." And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus awoke from his death, and he came back to life, and he came forth. What did Jesus say there? When Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," once Lazarus was out, he said to the people around him, "Loose him and let him go." John 11:44. "Loose him and let him go." He's saying, "This man is now alive. Get him out of those grave clothes so he can go and live." This is what we must do in our lives. We are his workmanship. God is conforming us to the image of Christ. He is loosing us and letting us go. How dare we sit around as if we were still bound up in our grave clothes, or even so much as if we were still spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1. "And you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin." God has made us alive, though we were spiritually dead. From there, we are his creation. We are his product. We are the result of his work. He works in us to produce works through us. He's working in us to conform us to Christ. God cannot work in us unless he has first worked for us. "For by grace you are saved through faith." He cannot work through us unless he works in us. This is why it's important for you to spend time daily in the Word and daily in prayer and constantly yielding to Christ during times of joy or suffering. And all of this requires you being submissive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit in your lives. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I think there's a decision involved. Certainly, Paul doesn't write this as a decision. He says, "God saved you by grace through faith. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained." I think God has a will for each of our lives. He has a plan. I think in his providence, he leads us along that plan. But I think for you and I as humans, we have to be responsible to be active in that plan. And I think it requires a daily submission. Paul said, "I die daily." I think before your feet hit the ground in the morning, you have to have the mentality of, "Holy Spirit, lead me today. Holy Spirit, use me today. Holy Spirit, work in me today. Make me more like Jesus Christ and help me do what he would do. Were these his feet? Were these his hands?" God has done this for us. God is doing this in us so that he may do this through us. The rest of verse 10, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works. John Calvin said, "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone." faith that justifies can never be alone. We are not saved by faith plus good works, but we are saved by a faith that works. James says this in James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So as believers, we must never minimize the place of good works in our Christian lives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We teach that to the children, don't we? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we say, hide it under a bushel. No, don't hide it under a bushel, because we need to let it shine. And I'm not going to let Satan blow it out, because I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Kingston Springs. I'm going to let it shine. I don't know the rest of the verses, but there's a bunch of them, because you can keep kids busy for 10 minutes or so singing that song. But I think as adults in the church, we need to remind ourselves of that little preschool nursery church song. This little light of mine. Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Now there's an element of humility here, I think, that prevents us sometimes. We say, well, I don't want this to be about me. I don't want to seem like I'm being boisterous or braggish. In fact, we know that that can be problematic. Jesus told of two men praying. One man was a Pharisee. He went out to the street corner to pray. He beat himself on the chest and he said, oh God. You ever heard that guy pray? He wants everybody to hear him. Thank you, God, he said, that I'm not like that dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, sinful tax collector. Then that poor tax collector got off in the closet by himself and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus painted an illustration there of the humility we must have in coming before God and the pride we must avoid in doing the work of God here in this life. But even with that in mind, Jesus himself says here in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see what? You. You need to be God's workmanship. People need to be able to see you and see Jesus. People need to be able to hear you and hear the Bible. People need to be around you and be able to be blessed that they may see your good works. Why? So they can say, boy, that's a great Christian there. No. So they can glorify your Father, which is in heaven. A great orator had come to town, and a private reception was held for him. He's a very famous man. And in this private reception, the many that had gathered decided to start having him recite some things because he just had a way with words and a way with putting them. Finally, it came around for the local pastor's turn to ask him to recite something. He said, what about the 23rd Psalm? And the orator said, I'll recite it, but only if you'll do it next. And he said, deal. So in a way that people had never heard before, this great orator recited, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he was done, the local pastor with his gristly voice and his slang local dialect gave his version of the Lord is my shepherd. When the orator finished, everybody cheered and applauded. What a great job he had done. But when the pastor had finished with humble hearts and tears in their eyes, they said, wow, that was really something. And someone asked the orator, they said, what was the difference? Y'all both said the same psalm. And the orator said, well, I know the psalm, but that guy knows the shepherd. This is how it must be in our lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is the chief end of man? To enjoy God and to glorify Him forever. We perform good works to glorify God. Uniquely, Paul instructs us here that we don't manufacture these good works ourselves. Kind of takes the pressure off. He says, we're His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But notice where he says they come from there in verse 10. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. They are the results of the work of God in our hearts. We are His workmanship. He has before ordained that we should do these things. Paul said this to the church in Philippi, Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." He has ordained, he has prepared before the good works that we should be walking in. The believer walks in the good works that God has prepared for him. This means that God has a plan for our lives and that we should walk in his will and fulfill his plan. We should live our lives as indwelled by the Holy Spirit and saying to the Spirit, "Speak to me, lead me, use me. I surrender myself fully to you today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day." And it's not a one-time thing. You were saved and you were saved once and for all. We're Baptist and we hold strong to that. Your seat in church, your parking space in the parking lot, your eternal state. Once it's saved, it's always saved. So don't sit in somebody else's seat. But what I'm talking about here is allowing yourself to be daily, moment by moment, used of God's Holy Spirit. You are his workmanship. You have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, what works have you been doing? Is that evident in your life right now? William Hendrickson, a wonderful pastor and commentator on the Scriptures, summed all of this up this way. He said, "God rejects our works for salvation. God confects our salvation and the good works we walk in. God expects us then to walk in them, and God perfects these frail human efforts since good works are his will. He rejects, he confects, he expects, but he perfects." Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that while nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Jesus I cling, rock of ages cleft for me, while it's nothing on my own, that God is creating something for me and that he expects me to exercise my human responsibility and walk in those good works, and that he is promising me here that he will perfect those things he has set me out to do. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. I ask you this morning, if you're unsaved, is sin working against you because you have not yet trusted in Christ? I encourage you to trust him now. Christians is not of works, but it is unto good works. So have you experienced his work for you, in you? Are you seeing it through you? I encourage you to surrender yourself fully to God today and again every day for the rest of your life. Let his Holy Spirit, who is indwelling you, direct your every thought and your every action in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in the Word with your church. Lord, we thank you that you have made this so clear and so available to us that we might read here that you have created the system in which we dwell, that you would save us through the death of your Son, that you have a will for our lives to go and do good works now that we've been saved, and that you haven't just left us to our own devices there, that you have fully intend to enable us and perfect the things that you would have us to do. Help us to have willing hearts today. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.